Have you ever wondered where you can go in downtown Salt Lake City to browse the largest inventory of Christian books on the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located at 1358 South and West Temple, just across the street from the Smith Ballpark. Whether you're looking for a basic introduction or a more scholarly work, Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding the appropriate resources so you can better understand the LDS religion. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore also carries dozens of books that Sandra and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes their comprehensive work, Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. So, once again, if you have questions about the LDS faith, there is always somebody behind the desk who would be more than happy to assist you. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and on Saturdays from 1 to 5. Remember, when in Salt Lake City, be sure to come check out the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are continuing our look at the Journal of Discourses, 26 volumes of sermons made by various Mormon leaders in the last part of the 19th century, giving you a little bit of a glimpse into what life was like for Latter-day Saints living in Utah during that time. Yesterday, we were discussing what Mormon leaders had said about the Constitution and how there was a day coming when the Constitution would be hanging by a thread, making it necessary for the Mormons to come in and actually save it. Many believe that this comes from a very controversial prophetic utterance that was given by Joseph Smith back in the 1840s. Now, there's, I admit, a lot of controversy regarding this. It seems to go back to primarily two people, a guy by the name of Turley and another one named Rushton. It's found in a diary by a guy named Roberts. And so the pedigree is questionable. However, we do find that this phrase, that someday the Constitution will hang, as it were, by a thread, that thread aspect is certainly a part of the prophecy. And some have wondered, why is it that the Mormons will quote that part of it, but they don't want to have anything to do with the rest of the prophecy? Because there have been Mormon leaders in the past, I think it would be Joseph F. Smith, the sixth president of the Mormon Church, that certainly wanted to distance himself and the Mormon Church from this alleged prediction made by Joseph Smith. And if you go through it, there's a lot of reasons why the Mormon Church would not want anything to do with this particular prediction. There are a lot of things that are said in it that certainly are just absurd. But yet at the same time, there's some things that Mormons have kind of latched onto. And the argument is well, yeah, but there's other places where Joseph Smith made some of these comments, and so maybe they're referring to those comments. Well, one thing for sure, we know that this idea about the Constitution hanging by a thread, that can be found in the White Horse Prophecy. So whether you want to believe it's authentic or not, it is found there. And that phrase has been used by a number of Mormon leaders.
Including the ones we just got done quoting yesterday,
and over and over. And that's the point. And I think people need to understand this. This idea that someday the Constitution was going to be in some severe danger and making it necessary for the Mormons to come in and rescue it was certainly a part of Mormon thought during that time.
And it was a single thread, which meant it was on the very verge of collapse without the Mormon people coming in, stepping in and saving the day.
I wouldn't be surprised if there are Latter-day Saints who feel that that time is right now. We hear a lot of people talking about how the Constitution is being abused, how it's being ignored, and a lot of people, and I think probably quite appropriately, are very concerned, depending on their worldview, where they feel that our country is going. Now, we know that Mormons, for the most part, hold to a more conservative politic. And so they would probably think, I would imagine, that maybe this is that time, that it now it's going to happen. So a lot of this is just left up to speculation. But when we talk about the White Horse prophecy itself, and I had said before that there were a lot of things in it that make us not doubt at all why many Latter-day Saints would want to have nothing to do with it. It's because of some of the statements that we find here, like, well, let me read the statement that comes out of it. You will see, and this ties in with what we're talking about, you will see the Constitution of the United States almost destroyed. It will hang like a thread as fine as a silk fiber. At that time, the prophet's countenance, this is another person telling the story of how he heard Joseph Smith say these things. He says that the countenance of the prophet became sad because, as he said, I love the Constitution. It was made by the inspiration of God, and it will be preserved and saved by the efforts of the White Horse. The White Horse. This is where it gets its name. The White Horse, of course, is the Mormon Church.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Mormon Church that's going to save this. And there's all sorts of interesting things here. It says, the time will come when the banks of every nation will fall and only two places will be safe where people can deposit their gold and treasure. This place will be the White Horse. Okay,
the Mormon Church.
Having some, maybe that's Zion's Bank. I don't know. They own it. Okay, but then it also says, and England's vaults.
Well, that makes sense based on the time, whether this came from the 1840s or maybe 1900. England was a power back then. Today, it would not be considered to be a world power, but back then it was.
That you're absolutely right. A lot of what we find in here would certainly make sense to people living at that time period. To us now, we look at England and it talks about France and we go, huh? England and France? World powers? Like, not really.
Not only did this talk about those two, but it talks about how they'll come together and how they'll be friends. And that's a hard one for a lot of people to imagine.
Yeah. It goes on to say, a terrible revolution will take place in the land of America, such as has never been seen before. For the land will be left without a supreme government, and every species of wickedness will be practiced rampantly in the land. It goes on to say, the most terrible scenes of bloodshed, murder, and rape that have ever been imagined or looked upon will take place. People will be taken from the earth, and there will be peace and love only in the Rocky Mountains. Now, you got to understand, folks, there is nothing written by Joseph Smith during his lifetime where he ever predicted that they were going to go to the Rocky Mountains. That prophecy is all after the fact. People talk about it, but everything that's said about the Rocky Mountain prophecy is all after Joseph Smith's lifetime. This will cause, as I'm reading on, this will cause many hundreds of thousands of the honest in heart of the world to gather there, not because they would be saints, but for safety and because they will be so numerous that you will be in danger of famine. There will be no escape except only by escaping and fleeing to Zion. The Turkish Empire of the Crescent will be the first power to be disputed, for freedom must be given for the gospel to be preached in the Holy Land. This thing just kind of jumps all over. England and France are now bitter enemies, but they will be allied together and be united to keep Russia from conquering the world. The two popes, Greek and Catholic, and of course, I don't think the Greek Orthodox have a pope, but that's a whole other issue, will eventually come together in their decline and be united. It talks about the Black Horse will flee to the invaders and will join them, for they have fear of becoming slaves again. Now, who the Black Horse is really not made clear, but when they talk about becoming slaves again, are we talking about the black race? I don't know. During this time, the Great White Horse will have gathered strength, sending out elders to gather the honest in heart from among the Pale Horse, or people of the United States, to stand by the Constitution of the United States as it was given by the inspiration of God. And it goes on. And when you read things like this, you can see why Mormons want to distance themselves from it. Although there are portions found in it that a Mormon could point to and say, oh, well, see, that could actually happen. But the fact that they always seem to talk about this Constitution hanging by a thread, that is a portion that is found in this prophecy. Now, the Foundation for Apologetics Information and Research, which is a Mormon apologetic group, has an article on the White Horse prophecy where they try to show why they should distance themselves from it. The person who wrote this, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name because I know I'm going to mess it up. He says this. He says, in summary, it cannot be said that the White Horse prophecy is accepted by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as official or binding. Well, so what? A lot of things are not official or binding in the Mormon Church. They always use that as a way of escape. But yet people still do believe it to be true, so that's really irrelevant. It is also true that nothing in the so-called prophecy is quoted or used by authorities in the church.
Well, we just found out the 19th century they did.
Yeah, the whole idea of the Constitution hanging by a thread, well, that's certainly in it. It goes on, though, it talks about, it is very clear that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints does not believe that there will be a time when the government of the United States or the world will be assumed by the church or its members. Well, maybe not now. Perhaps they don't now. We don't hear them talking about that. Yet, has anybody really asked some of the older leaders in the Mormon church? We don't know. They don't talk about it. But does that automatically assume that they are not believing this at all? I don't know. I haven't asked them. But when it says that, rather, it is a clear expectation that the Constitution and the government of the United States will survive the future predicted crisis because of the support that will be given by the elders of the church. Listen to that last phrase, folks, in this article by Fair. Rather, it is the clear expectation that the Constitution and the government of the United States will survive the future predicted crisis because of the support that will be given the elders of the church. Well, here's the problem I have with this conclusion. When we look at these statements, as we have read, and we read several of them yesterday, it is clear that the Mormons did not look at themselves as merely allowing support.
They were the doers.
They were the doers. They were the hero. They were the ones on the white horse. They felt that they were going to be responsible for it. And that is clear.
That's a classic interpretation. I mean, if you go back to what they actually said, this is obviously made to be more politically correct. So that,
or watered down, or maybe even misleading, because you don't get that impression when you look at the statements, at least the statements that we've been reading over the past couple of days. They really did feel it was going to be their responsibility. They were the ones that were going to be able to do it. And again, you have to look at it from their 19th century mindset. To draw this conclusion, to say that the future predicted crisis, now again, remember, we go back. When they talked about that in the 19th century, they looked at it as happening in the very near future.
Right.
I mean, Brigham Young said, it will not be many years before these words come to pass.
Right.
And yet this writer is still making it look like something could happen in the future yet to come.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to equip people to understand the differences between Mormonism and the Christian faith. At MRM.org, we have dozens of articles and video resources that will educate you in a variety of ways. Or perhaps your church needs to schedule Mormonism Research Ministry to come for a live weekend presentation. Remember, we're here to equip the body of Christ. Let us know what we can do for you. Contact us through our website. Again, that's MRM.org. Thank you.